Eye on Careers.
In association with laymoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
This is Eye on Careers, the career clinic, charting your next move.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we look at what it takes to be successful. What does it take to be in the top 1%, top 5%, even top 10% of your profession? And what you find time and time again is those individuals that rise up are following a certain process, a certain methodology. And those individuals who are, you know, born into certain business families or affluent families, they get tacit knowledge sitting at the dinner table, sitting around. They get taught the certain ways and approaches to developing your career, developing yourself, that gives them an advantage. And the great thing about the digital era now is that information is available. You can access information and you can access people. You can access thought leaders at the click of a button, engage with people online. I think we had the chairman of DMCC on the show, Ahmed bin Sulayem, and a lot of people were asking me to introduce them to him. And, you know, all you had to do was go on LinkedIn or go on WhatsApp or go on Facebook. And, he responds. He's accessible. So when you start to look at the new age and where we are and how information is flowing, is that this information is now available. You know, I think you had a Stanford professor who decided to put all of his course material online, and that anybody, you know, could take the course or get access to this information. Of course, you don't get the Stanford degree at the end of it if you're not paying your tuition. That's another story. And what he did at the end of this is he basically put the exam online as well. And he said, okay, anyone can take the exam. And then when he woke up the next day, 20,000 people from all over the world took this exam. And what was the most fascinating, you know, obviously he wanted to see who's number one out of 20,000 people, who scored the highest out of all 20,000. And what he found is it wasn't one of his students. In fact, it wasn't even anyone in America. It was actually a 12-year-old girl from Pakistan who was studying from her house, you know. And now you're looking at that type of access to information. She was, I think, offered a scholarship from Bill Gates, and obviously attracted quite a bit of attention. But now, you know, the time that you need to go from ground zero and into a very successful realm or to rise up is actually shrinking. You know, you can actually do this much quicker, and we now can see that in the environment. You now have, for example, Groupon, a company that started from scratch to over $1 billion net worth in less than 5 years. And you have so many companies like that, WhatsApp, and now seeing the average age of a millionaire dropping below 30, the average age of a self-made billionaire also dropping, these are exciting times. I was sitting with Paul Kenny and Peter Sleboon from the founders of Kabon.com. They were making 3,500 dirhams a month in 2010. By 2013, they sold their company to Tiger Global for $40 million. That is quite a jump in salary. I said, you know, it's exciting. We're going to start to see it be very common or a commonality for the sub 30 self-made millionaire to emerge. And Peter said, you know, I don't think so. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I think you're gonna see the sub 20. You know, that millionaires will start becoming millionaires in under 20 years old. You know, and at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, you know, what's holding you back? It's not the market. It's not the opportunities that are being presented to you. It's in your mind. You know, we all live to a certain extent in a mental prison. You wake up in the morning and you are envisioning a certain outcome, a certain way of being. You are envisioning yourself. You know, where do you visualize yourself 5 years, 10 years down the road? You know, one of your defining features as a human being is your imagination. You cannot achieve greatness without utilizing that imagination, what we call, you know, those people who are visionaries, that they have a vision of where they want to go. These are the market makers. These are, you know, the iconic business people of our time. Well, you don't necessarily have to rise up and build a $20 or $15 billion business or more. What you really need is, you know, just to have a vision for yourself and believe in that vision against all odds. When you can't find success, when there is only darkness all around you, you need to dig in and believe. And at the end of the day, when you walk out of that business meeting and you start to say, oh, they didn't believe in me, or they're not giving me the right chance, or I don't have the right passport, or I'm not the right color, you know, at the end of the day, you're making excuses, and people aren't going to believe in you when you don't believe in yourself. You have to believe it before anyone else does, point blank. If you don't believe it, no one else will. And so many times we don't have the courage to believe in ourselves that we want to pass the buck and we want to blame someone else for that, because it's much easier to say they didn't give me the job because I don't have the right passport. It's much more difficult to say I didn't get the job because I haven't been developing my skills. I didn't get the job because I'm not technically strong enough, or I didn't get the job because I'm not confident enough. And this is, I think, where you need to have that courage. You need to have that self-belief. And, you know, I think our last guest, Dr. Saleh Al-Fridi, was a testament to that. And, you know, and you can see these concepts that I'm talking about, whether they exist or not, because we don't just have one success story. We have two success stories, because to be successful, you have to be tenacious. You have to be persistent. You can't just get up one time. Success simply defined as getting up one more time than you've been knocked down. Our next guest is a man by the name of Kashif Jusub. He is a photographer but started life as an engineer. Let's hear a little bit more about his background.
This is Eye on Careers Executive CV.
Kashif Jusub, Managing Director of Lighthouse Studio. Kashif Jusub arrived in Dubai trying to make it as a computer engineer. Jusub says, I studied computer engineering in South Africa and moved to Dubai after that 10 years ago when I was 21 years old. I was looking for a job in that field, but it was very difficult at that time. I had no experience and I had just finished my studies. So I went to the American University of Sharjah to study business, and while I was there I joined the photography club. Jusub's interest in photography developed further during his time at the university, learning the technicalities, undertaking online courses, attending workshops and teaching himself various disciplines. To help build the media community in the UAE, Jusub was keen to introduce and develop a series of workshops at Lighthouse Studios, bringing experts to help people gain better understanding of their craft and learn the latest techniques and how to best use their equipment. The company's growth in just 3 years is something to be marvelled at. And looking back at his arrival in Dubai, Jusub says he could never have imagined things would turn out this way. He says, I came to Dubai at 21 years old. Being here was just meant to be an experience to enjoy. I didn't think I'd be here for so long. I was just here to see what would happen. What's important is that you push yourself that bit more than you thought you could. You have to encourage and motivate yourself as much as you can, and you'll get there.
Well, Kashif, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
It's great to see you here. For a minute there, I didn't know if we would catch you, but it's great that you're able to make it out. So you have, you know, basically pursued a career in the fine arts. By some stretches, a difficult road you've chosen.
Yeah. Well, look, photography. You know, everyone looks at it more as a hobby. They don't really look at it into the, you know, getting into a full-time job, and you know, everyone was very supportive when I told him, look, I want to get us in the photography field and get more business from there. And, you know, the beginning was obviously tough, but it came very, very successful afterwards.
So, and now, basically, how big is your business, or how many, what's the metrics for photography? I mean, I'm not so familiar with the business myself.
Well, basically, I've got a studio for photography and also one for video, and my team consists of 20 people at the moment.
Wow, that's quite large for photography.
Yeah, well, it varies. I mean, we've got photography, like food photography. We've got fashion photography, and we've got also like events, weddings, and all different specs of photography as well.
And so what's the lion's share of your revenue coming from? Is it mostly weddings and stuff? Because I know weddings are huge here in the Middle East. They spend a lot of money on their weddings.
To be honest, weddings is probably like 20% of our business. The maximum part is coming more from the advertising and fashion and commercial work that we do.
From the commercial work. So you're doing like ads for magazines and billboards, stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's much more profitable, I guess.
Corporates obviously can pay more than you know, individuals. So obviously that's, you know, it's just that, you know, people tend to go with cheaper options for events or weddings and things as well. So
right. So what was it that, you know, was the defining moment where you just basically snapped and said, that's it, I'm going to quit my job and start my own business?
Basically, it was during the recession. You know, it was a really quiet time for my career at the time, and I was kind of bored. You know, I wanted to do something a bit more fun and entertaining.
What was your job at the time?
I was doing trading, imports and exports.
Okay, what were you trading?
It was different commodities like electronics. We done food, and also we were doing. Cosmetics.
So, like, you would buy like a crate of TVs and then bring them, or like what? Like, what's the nitty gritty of it, really?
Well, what you're doing, we're buying stuff from China and importing it, you know, and bringing it to Dubai, and also supplying the U.S., U.K., and South Africa.
Okay, and so how did you get into this? Out of family business, or?
My dad's one of the partners of the company itself, so
Okay, so you came into the family business, and then you said, that's it. Was it like maybe a bit of working with dad was a bit tough as well?
No, well, it wasn't really tough working with the dad, but it was just more, it wasn't really what I wanted to do.
Your voice cracked, though, when you said that. You were like, no. I guess you can't say it, right? We're on the radio. But
probably listening to me right now.
No, I mean, so you decided, but how did you pick photography? Like, what was the straw where you said, that's it, I'm going to quit? You know, what was this, you know, was there that epic moment where you're like, I can't take this, I'm not trading for another minute?
What actually happened was I was doing a workshop of photography, and when I looked into that, you know, the images, and I showed the images to my family, and they were like, wow, okay, this is really cool, you know, we really think you can do better than this, you know, and I can, you know, that actually, you know, pushed me more and drove me more to try to find, you know, a path into this as well.
So, what was the first thing, like, you? I guess you had some savings when you started.
Yeah. When it was during the recession, it was really more easier to actually find a place because there was a lot of empty warehouses available. You know, even the contractors were like really easygoing with, you know, they were like, yeah, it's fine, you can pay, you know, in 6 months, and you know, even the suppliers selling the cameras and lights, they needed to sell the equipment. And at that time, they were like, you know, we've got so much of stock in our warehouses, we want to sell it. So they even gave me payment terms. So they helped a lot during that time. So, you know, the first few months, obviously, was very tough getting your license and getting the staff, the visas and stuff. But, you know, after that, it did pick up. So, yeah.
This is the story of Kashif Jassoub, Managing Director of Lighthouse Studio, sharing his experience of starting his own business now, which is thriving here in Dubai. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. We are here listening to the story of Kashif Jassoub, Managing Director, Lighthouse Studio. Kashif, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
So this is one of your favorite songs. This is what you put on when you're snapping those photos, huh?
Yeah, this is the one.
Do you have like some big woofers in the studio and like just blast that vibe?
We've got actually surround sound, and yeah, that does, you know, it changes your whole mood and stuff as well. So yeah.
Because a big part of it is making people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like I think that's like big part of the skill set of a good photographer, right? Is that you are able to get the subject in mood.
Yeah, a lot of times people come in and they're very nervous to take pictures, and you know, you just get that music and it just changes them, and they like really want to dance, and it brings out the excitement as well.
And it gets them going, huh?
Yeah.
So, you know, as a businessman, you know, how do you approach, you know, do you have any like major business philosophies or North Stars, or how do you approach strategy versus tactics? What's more important? You know, should someone spend 8 months writing a business plan and get every I and T dotted, or should you just run out there, apple cart in the market and see what's selling more, oranges or pineapples?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's more tactics, you know, going there, checking out what's the all the products and what's the photographers in the region, what are they doing, you know, and you study that, and then you just go in, you know, you just basically, you go with the flow in Dubai.
So you're more on the tactical side. I mean, a lot of people are saying even that strategy is going to be erased because the rate of change is so fast. You can't have a strategic plan, right? And you see that here in the Middle East all the time.
Yeah, well, see, Dubai, again, is more sensitive, UAE and the Middle East is more sensitive than the other regions, you know. So, you know, you're going to be like, you have to go with the region itself, but also, you know, with the technology going so fast and rapid at the moment, with different cameras every week and every month, something new launching, lights and stuff. So you're always going to be, you know, trying to get ahead and with your competitors, and always going to be trying to chase and get that new cameras, new equipment, and try to, you know, always see that you're going to be a better photographer. So yeah, it's always just pushing and pushing.
Is the cameras really making a difference? I mean, at the end of the day, either you can take a good photo or you can't, because you have some gizmo, you know, the XLJ7 5000 signature series. It's not going to make a difference, will it?
It's also about your own mindset. I mean, you know, it also makes you feel more, you know, confident when you have something really cool and something that also can, you know, it just when you're at an event or you shoot and you're busy, and even the people that recognize and they kind of like look at you. If you have obviously a higher end camera, they kind of notice it and they look, okay, well, you know what, these guys probably are good, or they really do, you know, good projects because they got this camera and stuff as well. So, you know, it helps as well.
So basically, it's kind of like a branding thing. You have to show up on set with the latest equipment because you're like, you know, it's kind of like the CEO can't show up in an economical car. He has to show up in Maserati or whatever. And you're like, wow, he's really good.
Yeah. It's
branding.
It's his branding, yeah.
So what's been the biggest challenge, you know, you've ever faced in everything you've gone through?
The biggest challenge, I guess, would be getting the best staff. You know, it's very hard. You know, being in Dubai, it's really, you see all the different nationalities here, and you try to get the you know, high quality photographers or editors, you know, in the region. And you know, when you go and try to get CVs, it's, you just get hundreds and hundreds of CVs, but you kind of filter them out, meetings, and I think that's just the hardest thing, is just getting the right people to work with you as well.
Because how do you have time, right? On one hand, you're handling your marketing, you're handling your finance, you're pitching to clients, you're involved in service delivery, you're picking the latest camera, you're doing this, and then on top of it, you know, managing that talent acquisition, it must be very difficult.
Yeah, well, I kind of like mellow down a bit also in my shoots. I've got some really, really photographers who I've got now working with me. They kind of like do more of the shoots. I'm doing maybe one or two, you know, in a week. It's not every day, so I got the time to go and meet clients, you know, check with the accounts, check with new clientele as well. So it just helps as well.
So it's getting a bit less hectic for you now that you have a team around you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you made some of these hires. But, I mean, that's kind of a business challenge. What's been the biggest challenge of your life? Has there ever been a moment where you just didn't feel you're going to be able to pull through it? Or, you know, what's been your darkest moment, and how did you find the strength to get through that?
Well, leaving South Africa and leaving the family and trying to move to Dubai by myself, you know, the beginning was really hard. You know, you've got a good connection with your friends and family back home, and trying to move into a new place without any friends, without any family, you know, it was really hard, and it was very lonely and depressing at the beginning, you know, moving here. But it just came more easier. I actually studied at the American University of Sharjah, and you know, I just developed all these new friends, and that's also when I got more into photography with the photography club there. And that actually helped me a lot, yeah.
So you came out here alone to go to school?
No, I can't. Well, I actually finished computer engineering there in South Africa. And I didn't really like any of the positions, and I was just kind of bored of that. So I kind of came here just for a year. I thought I'll be here in Dubai, you know, and just see what happens. And I was here working with my dad in his business. And, you know, it's also, like I said, it was.
He was here. I thought you said you came alone.
No, he wasn't here. He has a company here. He's a partner of a company here. And I was working for that company.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So you wasta. You had some wasta to get your first job.
Yeah.
So that's good. But it was nerve-wracking taking the jump. And I think one of the things we were talking about with Dr. Saliha just before you arrived was that fear holds most people back, and that facing those fears and throwing yourself, that if it feels uncomfortable, then, you know, this is kind of the way to success. You know, does it, how uncomfortable should you feel?
You know, thing is, I mean, everyone gets scared of, you know, change, you know. I mean, people that haven't been working, you know, but for themselves and working for companies, you know, they get scared to go into open up their own place because they're like, oh, this cost and that, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to lose all my money. There's so many things that goes into people's heads, and I guess it's just, you know, you have to be really confident and push yourself because you're going to be like, this is it, you know, I'm going to do it. I really want to, you know, be successful in this field. So you're really going to push it, and if it's something that you really enjoy, you're going to, you know, continue working on it. And even if it's working 7 days at the beginning, you're really going to go ahead and, you know, work and push that extra effort to get that, you know, job done.
And so a lot of people think, you know, when you start your own business that you can take it easy. But, you know, the reality is that often you work harder than you ever had in your life. What's been your experience?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I've worked extremely hard since I started the studios. And till now, I mean, I still do work really hard. And it's just, it's your own baby. You've kind of like watch it grow. I mean, from the thinking of the idea and, you know, the sleepless nights of trying to decide how you're going to change and build the studio and what equipment you're going to have. And, you know, it's still, when I do shoots, I still do get excited to do these different shoots. And, you know, it's your whole mind frame changes. And you really want to, you know, improve yourself as well. Because, you know, even though, like I said, the new technology is coming up, you want to improve your own skills and stuff. So you always keep learning.
What's been the biggest learning for you, you know, going through something like this, taking a business from ground zero?
It's managing people, for sure. It's, you know, it's different, like I said, different age groups, different religions, different nationalities, and, you know, it's just genders and, you know, just all the people, the emotions and stuff as well that they come with it.
Well, what's the learning there? And you know, what was your learning in managing people?
Just to be very calm and just listen and, you know, try to understand from where they come from.
All right. Basically, don't react. Take a moment, take a breath.
Yeah.
And because sometimes, I guess, as running your own business, it must be, you know, really emotional.
Emotional.
That you may always want to kill the person.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's points where you get very stressed out when it's, you know, things that they mess up or you know, people that, you know, they're going through an issue at the moment with their friends or family, and they can't operate or work in that field. So they really get stressed out, and that happens, you know, I guess in any business, in anyone's life, whether it's someone that's, you know, getting married or someone that's passed away in the family, and they want to be there, you know, they want to go and see what happened. And so if they can't be with their family at that moment, you know, it just you can see the entire person break down, you know, and you try to kind of help them and ease it, you know, that they are away from the countries, and, you know, it's help them, you know, manage themselves as well.
Well, this is Kashif Jassoub, Managing Director of Lighthouse Studios, sharing his lessons learned on starting his own business and taking the jump of chasing his dream. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are listening to the story of Kashif Jassoub, Managing Director of Lighthouse Studio. Kashif, welcome back to Eye on Careers. So Kashif basically had come out here and ended up starting his own company after a short period, took the plunge, quit his job, and put everything on the line to chase his dream of being a photographer.
Yeah, well, see, photography, again, like I said, it's something which people really didn't expect as a full-time career. And, you know, getting into photography was something which really is in within you. You know, people do get scared changing your careers or even going from a hobby to a full-time job. And if you have something in you and you think that you're going to do it, you know, whatever it is, you know, just try it out. I mean, you don't have anything to lose. I mean, life is short. Just enjoy it. You know?
And I think Dr. Saliha, who was on just before you, was saying, you know, the importance of getting in touch with that sense of identity of who you are. And do you feel like maybe too many people try to copy a career or try to, you know, say, oh, you know, follow something that was done before rather than listening to their inner voice? You know, how important is it, or how often do you listen to your inner voice and let that guide you versus the market?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's something which you feel inside. You know, you kind of have that that gut feeling that this is going to work. This is something which I'm going to enjoy. Something which, you know, I can look at this in 5 years and say, you know, this was a great move for me. So it's when people do you know, have fears and stuff, it obviously makes you get scared.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so when people, you know, do have the fears and they get scared inside, they kind of just stay with that comfort zone and stay in a career or job that's not really exciting, but they do it because, you know, they're scared to leave that that comfort zone.
And, you know, I think Mario Andretti said, you know, if you're on the racetrack and you feel like everything's under control, you're not going fast enough. You know, is that kind of echo over into business?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you, like I said, you always keep learning. It's something which, you know, we open up magazines every day and we're like, wow, you know, how did they do the shoot? What was the idea and this concept? And it kind of like just creates your whole mood to try to do something new, something exciting all the time.
So you're constantly in a state of development. Do you invest in it? You know, do you take courses or... because Dr. Saliha said, you know, she has a therapist as well, you know, to try to, you know, push yourself to that next level. Do you continue taking workshops and stuff like that?
Not too much workshops, but it's more chatting with photographers. And, you know, there's different photography clubs in Dubai and, you know, they have regular meetings and stuff. So you always, you know, get to chit chat with them and kind of like, you know, see their views in the aspect as well. And that obviously helps. And we all, you know, learn from each other and we all share ideas and stuff as well.
Right. So, you know, as you build the business, you have to basically put on different building blocks. You know, what are some of the, you know, what would be some of the advices you wish you had, you know, that you would have known before you took the plunge? You know, the, as they say, experience is that thing you get after you need it.
Yeah, I think the first thing would be is, you know, when you're starting up your company, get an accountant first. You know, that's, I think, the
first person you should hire should be an accountant.
Yeah. Get a good accountant, and I think second is, you know, get someone in the legal department. Someone, even if it's not working for you, it's like just find a lawyer, someone that can represent you and help you, guide you also, you know, in terms of the setting up this company and, you know, all the paperwork as well. And I guess after that, you know, you can look into, you know, expanding into your receptionist and, you know, marketing and as
then the third person you hire is a receptionist.
Yes.
Okay.
It's obviously, you know, you don't want people calling you directly. You know, it's obviously when you're in shoots, you know, you want someone to handle your calls, you know, check the emails for you as well. So you need that, you know.
How much do you pay for, like, how much should a receptionist be if you're, like, just starting out? I mean, obviously not now, but, like, your first receptionist. Can you get a decent, you know, what's the break mark where you can get someone who can decently do the job, but you're not breaking the bank or you're not messing with your cash flows?
Probably about 3,000 dirhams, yeah.
3,000 dirhams?
Yeah.
You can get, I don't know how you can live on 3,000 dirhams, but yeah, so there...
In other currencies, it's quite a lot, yeah.
Really? Okay. And
but, well, that's not now. That's, I mean, like I said, that's a while back, so...
That was in the crisis when people would work
yeah.
for food.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, don't get me wrong. It's not now. This is
yeah. You can't get anything for 3,000 now.
Yeah.
So it must be it'd be much more. So, interesting. So accounting first, then receptionist, then what? Then you look at other billers. Then you bring in your billers once you have the platform made, and you bring in revenue generators.
Yeah, it's sales or marketing, you know, depending what you want. I mean, if you've already got clientele, you know, you try to market some other aspects, or, you know, you need to go try to find sales, so you get a salesperson as well.
Right, right. So then you go for sales next.
Yeah.
Because lots of entrepreneurs do the sales first, right? And then backfill underneath with the support, shared services, accounting, operations,
yeah.
HR.
But again, like I said, it's now looking back, I thought, you know, this would have actually been an easier option, because I started also again, I done my own sales as well. I was pitching to clients myself, you know, taking my own work and showing them, I was doing the marketing as well. I just had the receptionist and I had someone to do the accounts, and that was, you know, it was just easy for me to do that as well.
Much better, huh? Much better. And so you basically, now what's going to be next for you? When you're looking forward, are you going to be expanding across the GCC or?
Well, right now at the moment, it's more expanding on in terms of equipment and, also getting more staff for the video department as well that we've started. So that's the step that we started with, and it's probably going to be till next year as well. And maybe then hopefully get a bigger studio as well, or, you know, we'll see how it goes, you know. Like I said, it's you know, you're just going right now with Dubai, with the flows. Like I said, it is expanding tremendously, so it's great at the moment, so yeah.
The Dubai market just continues to grow, so it's a good place to have a business or be in business or chase a career. Absolutely. So what do you think from a leadership perspective? I mean, what's your leadership style? Do you believe good people don't need to be motivated, or that, you know, even the best people need motivation? Or what's your approach to that?
Everyone needs some sort of motivation. I mean, you know, everyone, you know, comes and they got this this energy and this excitement, but after a while, you know, people, you know, if you don't look after your staff, you know, they do kind of feel like, you know, a bit bored or depressed, or feel like, you know, maybe this isn't what they wanted, you know, in their lives. So you know, things like team building, or, you know, just regular meetings, or just you know, things like, you know, just active you know, social things with your team and stuff, that helps a lot, and it keeps them also excited and makes them also know that you're investing in them as well. We've had some different photographers that came down to do workshops at our studio just for our staff, and also for our editors and stuff, so it helped them as well, you know, learn things that they didn't really know as well.
So is basically keeping that camaraderie alive. What about KPIs, success metrics, you know, creating policies and procedures? I mean, at what point, you know, are you at that point in the business where you're creating policies and procedures, or, you know, and what point does that have to come into the business?
Again, you know, in each industry it changes, you know, but with us, I mean, now I've, you know, since I started, it was just 3 people, you know, and now you get to a place where you have 20 people, and, you know, like I said, it's different nationalities, and people come from different, you know, aspects of life, so you have to put in, you know, in place different terms or conditions, and, you know, things which kind of, like, you know, they need to flow and they need to adapt to in this market as well.
Right. So, but have you written up policies and procedures, like, or is it just more from, like, you know, common sense, guys? This is the point. Where's point A? Here's point B. Yeah, Find your way across. Or some people need that. You know, we're going to point A. You put your left foot first, and your right foot.
What we do is we do monthly team meetings, and you know, we then discuss things. We know, we write them down. We actually send it out an email to all the staff, you know, telling this is the new policies. This is what's going to happen from now. You know, it always changes. It's kind of like, you know, you see what's happening in the market. You see what people might have done, and you're like, okay, why did they do this? You know, you chat to them, and then you, like, say, okay, well, you know, we don't want this to happen in the future, so we kind of write this down, let everyone know about it, so that they don't, you know, do the same mistakes or something as well.
So it's and you don't have that formal, like, you know, if you go to, like, Deloitte or something like that, they have that. At a certain point, you have to to that, right?
Again, this is more of a fun. It's a media. You don't need to be too strict and too uptight, and oh, everyone has to wear suits and ties, and, you know, this and that. It's more, like I said, it's more of a casual, you know, it's a more fun environment. You know, you got great music, you got, you know, it's a more advertising, fashion. It's really a fun entertainment industry. So we kind of, like, you know, try to keep that fun, you know, but also, you know, be a bit more serious and tell them, guys, look, this is the little, you know, terms and procedures and all these things noted down. But again, you know, just enjoy it and have fun.
And how competitive is the market for photography? I mean, is it pretty steep out there? Are there lots of photographers, or is it basically a white space where?
It is competitive, and I guess there's also still space for more. You know, it's in any industry. It's photographers is just, like I said, you get freelancers, which, you know, they can charge. You know, they don't have much expenses, and then you have your photography studios. You know, and they've got, you know, huge studios, a lot of equipment, a lot of expenses as well, but. again, you know, this is, it's actually, it helps because, you know, people actually compare the photographers, compare the work, and then they kind of like, you know the reason why people charge this and that. So it's, I mean, again, it's, like I said earlier, is the equipment that you have, you know, the advertising agencies and all of them, they look at all these aspects and say, okay, these people have been in the industry for how many years and what equipment did they have? So they compare that with the others, and then that's how they kind of like, you know, put you in the list and say, okay, who's better than the other one?
This is the story of Kashif Yasub, managing director of a Lighthouse Studio. He chased his dream of becoming a photographer, and it seems to be working out quite well for him. He's sharing his secrets of success. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're here listening to the story of Kashif Yasub. Kashif, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So this is one of your favorite songs.
Yeah.
So you're hip hop. You're a hip hop guy.
Yeah, you know, hip hop, R&B. Yeah, you know, also, you know, just it depends on the mood, but yeah, that's more of what I like.
All right. So you know, nobody comes on the show without being asked the famous question: what's the secret to your success? So,
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
So, Kashif, what's your secret to success?
Work hard, work smart, and you know, it's just kind of like get into the industry that you want to be in, and just have fun. You know, enjoy it, and don't look back. Just go with it. You know, go forward, move forward.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
I think that's so, you know, interesting that, you know, sometimes you're so caught up on getting to the next level or getting that next run that you miss the enjoyment or you miss the fun of your actual spot. And, you know, in my humble opinion, I think that first job that you get, those first 3 years of your career, those have to be the best 3 years because you're not really accountable. You basically can get away with murder, you know. I don't know. And I was wondering, that's what you brought up. I mean, do you think that people sometimes miss that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this again, like I said, it's something you just have to enjoy what you do. You know, that's basically what you need to get into and go into something where you know you don't have to look you know every day and say, oh, you know, that was really a boring day, or I hate what I'm doing, or, you know, just depressing, or, you know, going home sad. You know, go home and say, wow, that was a fun day, you know, I really enjoyed it, can't wait to go back tomorrow. That's what you need to do.
So what in your mind is the traits of a successful person or successful entrepreneur, and what are some of the things you look for when you're hiring?
People that are confident in themselves, you know, believe in themselves. And if you can believe in yourself and know that you are the one that's going to be doing what you want to do, that's going to help you, you know, in your whole life, besides work, you know, in your whole, you know, in your relationships, in your friends, you know, whatever you do, it's just going to help you in every way, step of your life.
I think one of the things that kills people's self-belief, just one of the many, there's obviously many things that can kill your self-belief, but, you know, for some people, before they do something, they start asking their friends or they start asking people advice, like, what do you think? Do you think I should do this? And often, if you're not asking someone who has what you have, they're giving you the wrong advice, right? And I don't know, versus other people, they don't ask any advice, they're just like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, again, you know, if you have close friends or families, or, you know, and if they give you mixed feelings, you know, you're always going to be in that, you know, it's not going to work or it's going to work, and you're going to be in that undecided mood all the time. And sometimes, again, you know, it's sometimes they're doing it to help you. Sometimes, you know, you're just going to go wild and say, well, I'm going to do this. And, you know, and then if it doesn't work, you're going to, like, oh, I'll never do this type of stuff again. I'm always going to ask people. But, you know, again, each person, you know, it's they kind of like, you know, have to know what they want, and kind of it's don't really, you know, accept what everyone says about you or says, well, you can't do this or you're not going to do that. You know, try to be yourself and say, well, if this is what I really want to do, let me do it.
And forget what they have to say. I mean, why ask them advice anyway? You know, listen to that inner voice. That's what you did, right?
Yeah.
What did your father, was he against you becoming a photographer?
He wasn't against it, but he was just, I mean, he was a bit concerned, you know. Again, I guess.
You're very political.
Yeah, but it's true.
He wasn't against it. He was, had some mild reservation.
You know, again, like I said, you know, it's if you're telling them, well, I want to go into law, I want to be a doctor or something. It's something which is, you know, kind of standard. And photography, if you people just look at it as, oh, you're going to take photos at events or weddings, it's not really a career. You know, you studied computer engineering for 4 years. I mean, you know.
Right, right. So, yeah, but we had Fadi Malaise on here who started Just Falafel. And he said the same thing, you know. It's not the you know, when you tell people I'm going to make falafels, for my career, they don't take you seriously. But I think, you know, as he approaches for his IPO, people are taking him very seriously.
Yeah.
And he's done a fantastic job. And again, it's about getting to those roots of that DNA. Who are you? What's your given skills? How did God create you, or whatever you believe in, create you? What's that uniqueness that you have? And tapping into that, that's how you explode into success. That's how you find your platform, right?
Yeah. Again, like I said, you know, I didn't start photography when I was 5 or 6, so I don't have these stories, you know, that says, well, I've studied so long and with photography and I went from film to this. I mean, this is like, you know, again, it was just a hobby. It was fun, you know, thanks to YouTube, I'm self-taught, you know, and, you know, from there, I just started, you know, playing around with lights and, you know, you don't even need expensive stuff to start off with. I mean, I just asked my mom, can I get some jewelry? Take it and take photos of it, you know. You look at different things like that and you say, well, you know, I want to try different things. How did they do this? And, you know, play around and just do things which, you know, doesn't have to be expensive hobby. But, you know, like I said, anything which you want to do, just start something. Don't just say, oh, well, it was, you know, and then after years, this is my vision for the next new year. I'm going to do this and do that. And it just continues all the time. So just start something.
I guess, yeah, you said your number one thing is self-belief. And just listening to what you're talking about now is what I call intellectual curiosity. You know, do you have that intellectual curiosity about your profession? Do you feel a lot of people lack this, that they're not, you know, when they have free time, they're not surfing YouTube for the latest edge on their profession, right? Is that, you know, one of the follies of the masses?
Again, you know, like I said, it's with technology and social media right now, it helps a lot with all things, you know. You know, you can see things that people are doing in other countries, in other regions, and you look at that and you're like, wow, you know, what's happening here? Or you know, why people are doing it in these regions? So, you know, it just helps. It helps you also in your own ideas and things to not ask people questions, but actually see things, you know, through the globe and see what is going to be happening, what's the future, what's going to be, you know, the new trends that's starting up as well. So you're going to look at all these things and say, well, you know, I kind of like want to start something up, but I don't know. But, you know, go online, check some things out, you know, do some research yourself, you know. Don't decide on whatever people say or, you know, on a magazine or newspaper. Just go online, you know, do different types of research, you know, not only one person's aspect, but, you know, various people, what they all done and what they've, you know, what their successes are as well.
Well, you know, I think that's good advice. It's really been a pleasure having you on, Kashif, and hopefully we can have you on again soon sometime.
Thank you very much for your time.
So there you have it. It's another episode of Eye on Careers, looking at what it's going to take to get to the top. And a Spartan-like work ethic. Don't compromise or sell out your spirit. Have a sense of purpose. Find out your why. Believe in yourself. These were all tenets that came out from both our guests who are focused on running their own business and chasing their dreams. And remember, you can too. This is Shane Phillips. This is the end of Eye on Careers for this episode.